11, verse number 1, the Bible says, it came to pass after the year was expired at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah, but David tarried still at Jerusalem. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for these guys being here. God, I just ask that you would, God, work in each heart. God, you know the need of every person in this room, Lord. God, and you have the answer to that need. I pray you please help us to seek you, Lord, and eagerly listen, Lord, to try to find the answers that you have for us. God, I pray you please give me the right words and thoughts and spirit. Help us to hear your voice through the preaching. God, please, I pray you would be lifted up, and God, that you would draw us all closer to you as a result of this. God, that's what we need, and God, we need your strength and your direction. God, only you can provide that, and Lord, we pray you would please do that for these guys in this room right now. Thank you for your goodness. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys can be seated. Thank you for standing. We're in the message, in the midst of the message, what the devil doesn't tell you. Guys, there are certain things the devil doesn't want you to know. And like we're talking about, he does that on purpose. He does that for a reason. He conceals things. He hides things because it doesn't help his agenda. It doesn't help his cause. And like these guys talked about, he'll show one side, the appealing side of sin. You talked about beer commercials. Some of you guys talked about other scenarios, and the devil will show those things at you. And let's be honest, he blasts us with those things, right? We get bombarded by that every single day. But he doesn't tell us about the other side of it, and that's what this message is about. We revisited the story of Adam in Genesis chapter 3 about him eating of the fruit. And what did we learn from that? The devil didn't tell him about that it led to devastation. That was the first point we dealt with. And then we revisited Samson's life and his story. And guys, his actions led him to defeat, and the devil didn't tell him that. Now, let me ask you guys a couple things just so you have learned, make sure you've learned from that that story. Guys, had Samson been warned ahead of time not to mess around with the cheap girls? Yeah, who had warned him? His parents had. Yeah, that's fine, that's fine. His parents had. Did he listen to that? He did not. Did it catch up to him right away?
No.
No, it took a little while, right? But it did eventually come back to haunt him. Who was his lady friend working for? Yeah, the enemy, right? The ones that wanted to destroy him, that hated him, they basically hired this woman to try to find out the secret of his strength, which she did. Guys, and we said what thousands of soldiers could not accomplish against Samson, one pretty girl did. That is really stunning and mind-boggling to think about. These guys came at him with force, with strength, with weaponry, with everything in the kitchen sink, and it didn't work. But you know, a pretty girl comes this way, and he let his defenses down, and he fell to that temptation. He was destroyed. That's a strong lesson to learn, guys. Because Samson put himself in that position, what did it do to him over time? This one may be a little hard, but I guess that's the best way I can ask it.
Yes, it weakened him.
Yes, good. It wore him down. Guys, if you continue to put yourself in the wrong spot over and over, maybe the first time or two, you'll be strong enough to say no to it. But you continue to do that, I'm telling you, it's going to wear you down. So don't continue to put yourself in those positions. He was exposed to it, and the extreme pressure finally eroded his defenses. And last one I want to hit about Samson, who was lifted up? Who was praised? Who got the honor when Samson went down? Who got the honor for it?
False god.
Their false god called Dagon, the Philistines' god. Did that god have any power?
No.
But it was because of Samson's awful choices, foolish choices, guys, that this false god got lifted up and praised and said, our God has all this power, when really it had no power whatsoever. Guys, the same thing can happen to you and to me. The devil in comparison to God, there's no comparison. God, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We know that. But guys, our foolish choices can bring honor and praise and exaltation to the devil. We can be a trophy in his hand. Man, I do not ever want to have that happen. Don't be the cause for the devil getting lifted up. We just barely stepped into David's life, and that's where we're picking it up today. What the devil didn't tell David is that it led to depression. We're going to dive in, see how far we can get today, guys, but we're talking about the great man David in the Bible. Very spiritual man, loved the Lord, was very successful, but guys, this is the low point of his life, and we're going to find out why. So we read 2 Samuel 11, verse 1, and in this verse number 1, the kings are supposed to go out to battle. It says at the time when kings go out to battle, I believe this is springtime, right? We're hitting now in this time of the year. The weather's changing, it's getting warmer, and they still have conflicts that would linger over from the previous year. And that would be the time for the kings to head out there to get on the front lines and to lead their nation into battle. David was not there. He was out of place. He stayed home. Hey, guys, you need to be where God wants you. You know where a lot of guys mess up? They're out of place. They're where they should not be. Guys, if you're with friends that you don't belong with, it's going to lead to trouble. Yeah. When you're with girls you don't belong with, it's going to lead you to trouble. When you're in places and at times where you should not be there, guys, let's just be honest. For most of us, you should not be out of the house 12, 1, 2. What are you doing? Yeah. What are you doing? You should be at home, in bed, asleep. You know, if you're awake, you should be going to the bathroom, then going back to bed. You know what I'm saying? Like, that should be the only time you're awake.
Yeah.
But some guys, listen, maybe you're at home, but it's 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, and you're on your phone, and you're turning on the TV. Guys, I don't believe any good comes out of that.
Yeah.
I don't believe any good comes out of that. Because the devil, like they say, an idle mind is the devil's workshop. You know what it's saying? Right. You have no purpose, you have no aim, you have no direction, you have no drive. The devil says, oh, I like that.
Yeah.
I can take advantage of that. I can do something here. He had an unwise situation. Guys, David wasn't where he was supposed to be. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying if he would have been at battle, he would have never gotten tempted in this way.
Yeah.
Never. And guys, in our lives, when you're supposed to be at school, be at school. When you're supposed to be in church, be at church.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, every morning, you know where you're supposed to be? In your Bible and in prayer. That's your place. That's your place. That's your place. Don't be out of place. David was not where he should have been. And then, verse number 2, he had an unexpected sight. Guys, as I told you last time, I don't believe David planned this. In no way. He walks, he gets up off his bed, he walks out on the roof of his house, and is just looking across. I believe he's getting fresh air. I believe he didn't have any, you know, major thought in his mind. I don't think he schemed this. I don't think he plotted this. I don't think he knew that lady would be out there. But she's out there taking a bath on the other rooftop, and David sees it and says, oh boy, and did not react the right way to it, obviously. He had an unwise situation. He wasn't where he was supposed to be, and then, guys, an unexpected sight. You say, well, this was just a coincidence. No, it's not a coincidence. I believe the devil saw that he was weak and came at him with a knockout blow.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, guys, when you're not strong spiritually, that's when the devil comes the strongest at you. He comes at us strong all the time. Don't get me wrong. But when he sees that you're weak, when he sees a chink in your armor, when he sees an open spot, a target on your back, he's coming for you, guys. Come on now. We've all played sports. You've been in basketball or football or baseball. When you see the other team is vulnerable, do you call a timeout and say, let's let the other team regroup? If you do, you're about to fire your own coach. Like, coach, no. They're weak right now. Let's go for it. If they got a hole in the middle, you drive the ball in the middle and get some points. If they got a hole in the passing game or in the running game trying to defend that, you go for it. In baseball, if you see this guy can't pitch very well, you're trying to score as many runs as possible. You're not going to say, okay, guys, let's lighten up. Okay, we want to be good Christians. Yeah, we'll be good Christians and win. All right? We're going to take you down.
Yeah.
Jesus is a winner, all right? You know, we got to lift up the Lord, all right? Listen, but guys, you know that in sports. So why don't we apply that to the Christian life? Guys, time out. And I'm not beating up anybody today, but I'm glad you're in church. I'm glad every single one of you here, you made the right choice, and I'm proud of you for that. But let's peel back a little bit. I wonder who read their Bible this morning.
It's good, yeah.
Okay. I wonder this week how many times you read your Bible, how many times you pray. Hey, are there times where you got to rush through it? Yes.
Yeah.
We don't like to do that. But guys, are you weak? Are you vulnerable? Are you out of place? Hey guys, it would be a shame if you checked your social media 50 times a day, but you didn't open your Bible once.
Wow.
That'd be a problem.
Yeah.
It'd be a problem if you checked the scores on the and checked your favorite team and all that kind of stuff, turn it on the TV, but you're not in your Bible. Guys, are you weak? Are you vulnerable? Are you out of place? Can I tell you, the devil's not going to lay back on you. He's going to come at you even stronger. Guys, I don't want to see your life destroyed, so I'm telling you, wake up spiritually. Wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. Don't get laid back and, yeah, I'm okay, I'm good. Nothing's happened. Hey, we remember, we just talked about it. Nothing happened immediately for Samson. He messed with the trashy girl in chapter 14 in Judges. Then chapter 15, he did another one. Then in chapter 16 at the end, bam, that's when the hammer fell on him. It'll catch up with you eventually. But guys, if you're weak, strengthen those defenses. Ask God for his help now. All right, guys. We had the unwise situating. He's out of place. An unexpected sight. Guys, he goes out there, and again, I don't think he had any bad intention in his mind. That's my thought, George. I don't think he had anything like that in his mind. But out of nowhere, bam, the devil said, I can get him right now. I can get him right now. Kevin, again, there's times in games you say, guys, if we can pile it on right now, the game will be over.
Yeah.
Done. Guys, you've seen games where the game is over in the first quarter.
Yeah.
I mean, it is. Guys, the one team comes out just roaring and the other team, like, didn't show up. And it's over before you even know it. I mean, maybe only 10 minutes have gone by in the game, but it's done. The rest of it is like they call garbage time. It's over. Guys, you got to be prepared for battle, and David was not. And guys, can I say the unbelievable swiftness, the third subpoint here? Guys, by the end of the chapter, by the end of this chapter, chapter 11 of 2 Samuel, David's an adulterer, and he's a murderer, and he's away from God, and his life is spinning out of control. Can I tell you, sin moves a lot quicker than we think. Guys, it'll get out of control very quick. You know what we think we can do? We think we can play with it just a little bit, and then when we get uncomfortable, to stop. That's not how sin works.
Right.
Once you get in, guys, like we said before, it takes you a lot farther than you ever expected. It got out of hand quick, in a hurry. If you had told David, in just a matter of days or weeks or even just a few months, your whole life will be flipped upside down like this. You're going to be an adulterer. You're going to be away from God. You're going to be a murderer. Really, you could even say he committed treason against his own nation. I mean, guys, a soldier in his army that's fighting for him, he ordered the death of that guy. All this stuff piled on top. Guys, sin will get out of control quick. It's a snowball that's running downhill, and it'll pick up speed very quickly and grow and grow and grow. And you think, how did this happen? I just went to that one party. I just decided, okay, I would put my hands on my girlfriend. I didn't think that it would turn into this. Can I tell you, no one ever expects that. But you know who is anticipating that the whole time? The devil. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
That's what he's been planning from the beginning. He said, if I can get David weak, I'm going to come at him with this temptation. If he follows this temptation, it'll get out of hand very quick. The devil knows about that. Guys, that's why we can't play these games. It got out of hand very quick and in a hurry. Check out the last verse of chapter 11, if you would. I love this verse, man. Very strong. So, like we said, in the midst of this chapter, he's an adulterer. He's a murderer. He commits treason against his own nation. He's away from God, living a wicked life. Verse number 27 of chapter 11. When the morning was past, David sent and fetched her to his house. She became his wife, bare him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. I'm going to stop real quick, guys. What are your thoughts on that verse? Just whatever you got. What comes to your mind from verse number 27? Ethan.
He tried to cover it up by marrying him.
Mm-hmm. Displeased God. Yeah. Kev?
He knew right from wrong, but he still just went. Because of his fleshly desires, he wanted to fulfill that over God's will.
Right, yeah. Guys, you know what? I call this the unfooled sovereign. God wasn't tricked by this.
Yeah.
Everybody else may have been. It says when the morning was past, and you notice that morning, it's not talking about the early part of the day. It's talking about grieving and weeping and all this. It's from the death of her husband. Mm-hmm. So there was a period of time where she's grieving over that. And when that was subsiding, David sent, fetched her to his house. She became his wife, bare him a son. Guys, it seems like David's plan is coming together, doesn't it? I mean, guys, he's been scheming this whole chapter. I want this woman. How do I do it? He commits adultery with her. A child's coming along. Oh, man, what am I going to do? I got to get her husband home from battle so I can cover this thing up. It's not working. He tries getting the guy drunk. That didn't work. All right, we'll try one more thing. Doesn't work. All right, fine. We're going to send him out to battle and put him in the worst battle, the hottest battle that there is, and then everybody else is going to pull back from him and leave him there stranded so that he dies. Guys, that's David basically ordering the murder, the hit on Uriah, this guy. And all this moves so quickly. I don't think David would have ever thought he'd be in this position. But now, Anthony, it seems like everything's coming together. I mean, husband's dead. The lady has grieved. That's pretty much over now. She comes to his house. He marries her, bears him a son. I mean, you got to say halfway through that verse, dude, it looked like everything came out pretty sweet for David. Not so quick. His plan looked like it was coming together, but there was the perception of the Creator. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. Can I tell you guys, that's all that matters. That's all that matters. Nothing else really mattered in that moment. Guys, other people may have been fooled. The nation may have thought, oh, wow, I see Bathsheba's with David. They just got married, and now she's pregnant. Oh, man, this is so nice. Everything's coming together. They may not have known the backstory, but God always knows the backstory. He knows how you got to that point. And God was not fooled for one second. He's saying, David, you may have covered this thing up pretty well. It may look pretty good at this moment. The whole nation may think everything's smooth and everything's going along just according to plan. But God says, I'm not fooled.
Yep.
Wow, that's strong, guys. The unfold sovereign. Sometimes, guys, you think you can trick your parents and your teachers and your leaders and the people that influence you. God's not tricked. God is not fooled for one second. The plan was coming together, but the perception of his Creator. Guys, let's live right before God. May God help us all to do that. Because we're not trying to impress other people. We're trying to please him. Keep your spot in 2 Samuel, if you would. But I want you to go to Psalm 32. We'll pick up David's situation in Psalm 32. This is David writing this psalm, and he goes into depth about what he was experiencing in this time frame where he was away from God. So he had an unwise situation. He wasn't where he was supposed to be. An unexpected sight. The devil was trying to take him down with one kill shot. An unbelievable swiftness. Out of nowhere, bam, he's an adulterer, he's a murderer, bam. Very quickly, all this started to snowball. And there was an unfold sovereign. Maybe it looked to everyone else like David had cleaned this thing up and covered it up, and everything looked like it was on the up and up. God was not fooled one second. But guys, can I tell you, here's the thing. David kept making it worse for himself.
Yep.
Guys, he sinned horribly. I don't think anybody would argue about that. But he did not get right with God right away. It took a long time. And can I tell you, every moment that passed that he resisted getting right with God, you know what he did? He made it worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. Guys, if you're in a bad spot in your life right now because you've been disobeying God, can I tell you, don't keep disobeying God. It's going to make it worse and worse. It's going to take you farther down. It's not going to magically turn everything around and fix it. That's not how it happens. You have to repent and turn back to God if you want things to get better. This is Psalm 32, verse number 3. Very familiar verses for some of you guys. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer, Selah. Guys, that the first four words of verse number 3, he says, when I kept silence. Can I call that the unrelenting stubbornness? He said, I'm not going to give in. Guys, he had committed adultery. It's a clear sin, a violation of God's law. Clear cut, egregious before God. But you know what? He said, I kept silence. You know what he's saying? I avoided getting right with God. Guys, if there's something going on in your life, you know this is not right. Don't avoid it. Don't put it off. Don't procrastinate. Don't say, I'll do it one day. No, get right with God today. Take care of it now. He said, when I kept silence, he was stubborn with it. He said, I can fix this. Can I tell you, that's why he tried to pull the lady's husband home. And that's why he tried to pull all these schemes and all these things. And they weren't working for him. And then finally, the guy dies and it seems like everything's come together. But God says, no, it's not come together because I'm in control of this. The unrelenting stubbornness. Guys, is there something in your life? People keep telling you, dude, you got a problem with your attitude. I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm fine. You just don't understand how I am, guys. Maybe you need to humble yourself down and say, do I have a problem here? And can I give you the 100% guarantee how you can know. Go to God.
Amen.
And he'll tell you.
Yep.
And by the way, if a lot of people are doing it and people in authority are doing it, that should be enough confirmation for you right there that you do. He said, when I kept silence, he said, I was stubborn. I wasn't going to give in. People are telling you, get rid of this music. No, it's fine. It's not affecting me. I'm okay. When people see it affecting you all the time. He was stubborn. He kept silence. And guys, because of his stubbornness, there was unstoppable suffering. The rest of verse 3 and verse 4. He said, because I kept silence, I avoided. I wasn't getting right with God. Guys, he wasn't praying. He wasn't seeking God. Now, he may have done it, Kevin, just to keep up appearances, just to do it on the surface, but his heart was not close to God. Maybe he did what he had to do, Wes, just so people weren't shocked and say, what's wrong with David? But he knew he was really far away from God in his heart. He said, this is what happened. My bones waxed old through my roaring all the day. For day and night, thy hand, God's hand, was heavy upon him. My moisture is turning to the drought of summer, Selah. He's saying, I was struggling. I was miserable. You know what he's saying? This is constant. He said it happened all day long, and it happened day and night that God's hand was like pushing down on David. He says, you're squashing me, God. That's how he felt. Guys, I could break apart all these phrases, but I'm not going to spend all the time doing it. But you know what he's dealing with? Emotional suffering, mental suffering, spiritual suffering, physical suffering, everything. It's all on the board right there. He's saying, I was moaning all day long. He's miserable from the inside out. He says his bones waxed old through his roaring all the day. He felt it in his body. He says his moisture is turned to the drought of summer. What that's talking about, the very life juices that he needed to keep him going, the fluids that he needed to keep him going, his body going, felt like he was drying up. David's like, this thing is going to kill me. And guys, it was constant. It was inescapable. The guilt was weighing him down. Guys, he could not duck it. He couldn't dodge it. He couldn't shake it. I'm sure he tried everything. He's the king. Nothing was taking away the guilt of his own sin.
Yeah.
Guys, if there's sin in your life or in mine, what we need to do, 1 John 1:9, we were talking about Fernando a couple nights ago. If we confess our sins, God is faithful. He just forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Guys, he says, come to me, confess it, tell me the whole ugly story, and I will forgive you, I'll cleanse you, I'll take it all away. Guys, that can be you today. Or you can stick there and stay there and continue to suffer day by day by day by day. It's not even a close decision, guys. Come to God, confess it, get it right, and he'll take it away. But guys, this was inescapable for David. Because he kept silence, he wasn't confessing his sins. He wasn't admitting his failure. He wasn't saying, I've done wrong. I'm humbling myself, God. He said, no, I'm going to fix this some other way. I'm going to scheme. I'm going to plot. I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to find some other way around this. God said, it will not work. It will not work. And David may have pulled the con on a lot of people. He may have pulled the wool over a lot of people's eyes. But guys, God was not fooled. And because God was not fooled, God continued to have this suffering going on in David's life constantly until finally David broke and got it right. And we won't turn to it, but Psalm 51 is finally when he lays it out all on the table to God and pours his heart out and say, God, I'm wrong. I've sinned. And you know what God did? God forgave him. Thank God for that. And God can do that for you today. You can go back to 2 Samuel. So because he was stubborn, he had all this suffering that he dealt with. And let's see how many more of these we can get. All right, you're in 2 Samuel. I had you in chapter 11. Go to the next chapter, chapter 12. You know, let me have you guys fill in the blank. So we went quickly through chapter 11. He sees this. He commits adultery. He orders the death of her husband. That all happens. It looks like it's coming together beautifully for David. It looks like the plan is working out. God says, no, it's not. Because I'm in control of this. What happens in chapter 12? Early part of it. Does anybody know?
Nathan approaches him.
Yep. Prophet Nathan says, David, want to do a visit with your brother. And then he gives him a little story, right, about a lamb. And it's kind of a parable. And David gets so angry about this guy taking this lamb. And he's saying, yeah, David, thou art the man. That's exactly what you did when you stole this guy's wife, when you have all this stuff that God has given to you. But what I want to highlight, guys, is verse number 13, chapter 12, verse number 13. David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. Stop right there. See, guys, this is finally when he broke. This is finally, you're listening today? This is finally when he gave up. He threw up the white flag and said, I'm done. I'm not going to fight you anymore, God. Guys, a lot of people fight God, but can I tell you, they don't win. They don't win. You only lose when you fight against God. Hey, if God wants you to do something and you're not doing it, you're fighting against God. Or if you're doing something that God says do not do, you're fighting against God.
Yep.
Can I tell you, I think that happens very often, but people just put it out of their minds. No. That's just, they make whatever excuse in the book so that they don't get reminded of it mentally. But you're fighting against God. If he wants you to do something and you say no, or he says don't do this and you do it anyway, you're fighting him. You're not going to win.
Yeah.
You will not win. Finally, he breaks. Finally, he says, I have sinned against the Lord. He repents. Guys, repentance means to turn from your sin. Hey, guys, you know what repentance means? That if you've been watching junk on TV, you stop.
Yep.
You know what repentance means? If you've been listening to garbage music, you stop.
Yep.
You know what repentance means? That if you've been lusting after every female that walks by, you stop.
Yep.
Repentance does not mean, God, I'm sorry, and then you keep doing it. Mm-hmm. That's not repentance. That's garbage.
Yeah.
That's lying to God. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying that we snap our fingers, we pull out the magic wand, and we never have another struggle. I'm not saying that. But repentance means you are willing to fight the battle, to say no to your flesh and not give in to those lusts. That's what repentance means.
Yep.
Don't get it mistaken.
Right.
Turn from your sin. It means a drastic shift in your life. Hey, guys, where in your life do you need to repent? Repent is a serious deal. I hope we don't slough it off as just whatever. Repentance is a big deal. Finally, David repents at the beginning of verse number 13. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. What is that saying? God's forgiven you. That's awesome right there. Check out the last phrase of the verse. Thou shalt not die. Guys, you know what this tells me? I believe very strongly that if David would not have repented and turned from his sin right here, I believe David would have died. I believe David would have died. I believe God would have taken David's life. He would have had a premature death because of his sin and because of his stubbornness to stay in that sin. And you know what, guys? God can still do that. God can take people out early if they refuse to get right with him. Guys, can I tell you, I call that the utmost seriousness. Guys, we think we can play with sin. We think it's just fun. We think it's just having excitement and thrills and all this. My friend, sin is a deadly, deadly game to play.
Right.
And God is not okay with us clicking on things, listening to music that's not right. Kevin, I really think a lot of people just don't take God seriously, to say it bluntly.
Yeah.
Because we hammer on things from the Bible. We're not throwing you our opinions, but we hammer on things from the Bible and say, this is not okay. And we think, yeah, whatever. We play with it. We think it's a joke. We think it's a game. Yeah, okay. I mean, I know they hammer on it. Brother Tom gets all red and sweaty and all this, but I mean, come on. It's really, really.
Yeah.
Really. It is that serious. Guys, do you ever fear that if you step out of line and you go the wrong way? I mean, bad things can happen in your life. The punishment, the judgment of God can come down. And ultimately, Ethan, if I keep doing this, God could take me out. I believe that.
Right.
Yep. I'm not saying I live 100% perfect. And far from it. Yep. But good grief. Guys, I feel there's so much stuff, man, that if we'll take God seriously, our lives will change.
Yeah.
Our lives will completely change. The utmost seriousness. Nathan, the preacher, comes up to him, gives him this sermon, points his finger in his face, say, thou art the man. Finally, David repents. By the way, we need hard preaching, not harsh. You've heard my difference on that. But we need hard preaching from the Bible, laying it out.
Right.
But finally, David breaks and says, I repent. I turn from myself. I'm wrong. And God's right. And when he says that, God says, okay, you're forgiven. You won't die. That tells me if he would have kept playing this game, it would have been game over for David, because he would have died.
Yeah.
Guys, let's not play that game, man. You say, Brother Tom, you really believe that in 2024, dude? Yes.
Yep.
Yes, I do. It's not worth playing games. Amen. You say, I thought God just loves people. He does love people. Mm-hmm. But God is holy and God is serious about sin. He is not okay with it.
Yeah.
You know how serious he is? He sent his own son to die on the cross because of our sin.
Right.
Whew. That's very serious. And guys, I want to, finishing up about David, and it's probably all the time I have today, but he had untold sorrow. Now, God spared his life. And God forgave him, and God continued to use David in his life, the remainder of his life. So God, you say, Brother Tom, I've messed up. I know some guys that have messed up. God's not done with you. He'll forgive you, and he'll get you back on track. But there are consequences to pay, right? You do something wrong, there's still going to be consequences. God can forgive you, but you can't expect for nothing bad to ever happen. Again, I can't pull the magic wand out of my coat pocket and say, okay, George, nothing bad will ever happen to you. It doesn't work. I can't do that.
Yeah.
And God says, listen, I'll forgive you and you can be restored to me, but there's still some consequences you have to pay. Can I tell you, David still has some consequences he had to pay? Mm-hmm. Let me point your attention to verse number 6. This is David speaking in response to Nathan's parable. And he says, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. He's talking about this parable, as I said, but guys, this is almost like a prophecy of what would happen to David. Can I tell you guys, David lost tragically 4 of his sons, I believe, Aiden, as a direct result of his sin with Bathsheba. They died. All right, let me give you a couple examples. I'll give you probably 3 examples. Guys, what I'm trying to say, you say, Brother Tom, do we really have to dive in on this? Because I want to continue to hammer home to you that sin is not worth it. Because guys, time out. Everything we see on the TV tells you sin is worth it, dude. It's awesome. This is where life is all about. I mean, guys, when you get older, if you haven't drank, people think that you like haven't lived yet. You haven't messed with drugs. They're like, what's wrong with you? You haven't messed with every girl that you can. Like, dude, are you stupid? I mean, that's how the world looks at you. And that's the philosophy that's shoved at us all the time. But we've got to have more ammo on the righteous side telling us that it's not worth it. And we've got to dive into the Bible and find out for ourselves. It's not worth it. Sin is not worth it. It never comes through and never pays like it says. The untold sorrow that David had. Guys, I just want you to stop for a second and think about David, the king. And he's attending a funeral of some of his sons. And he knows, Tim, in the back of his mind, it's because of his sin that he did with this woman. That night where he walked out on the rooftop and saw her and bam, everything started to roll into high gear. I believe it all directly relates back to his sin in chapter number 11. Guys, let's look at some of these. You're still in chapter 12, I believe, 2 Samuel, verse number 18. It came to pass on the 7th day. So you know the story. After Nathan preaches to him, he had told him that, David, you won't die, but the baby that was produced from this union between you and Bathsheba, that baby's going to die. You know what David did, though? He prayed and begged God that God would be merciful to him. That's a lesson for us right there, that God will be merciful to us. But verse number 18, after David prays and fasts and weeps and is seeking God for 7 days, it says it came to pass on the 7th day that the child died. I mean, guys, can you imagine the heartache that he was going through right then? And hey, the rest of the story talks about that he says, I will see that baby again. That's why we believe that babies and young children that die go to heaven. They go to heaven because they're under the age of accountability. Okay, that's why one of the main passages we hold on to in that belief. But can I tell you, George, that obviously would have been a very hard thing to deal with. I could not imagine that. Could not imagine that. All right, go to the next chapter with me, if you would. 2 Samuel 13, and look at verse 36. Now, what happens in chapter 13? Another one of David's sons named Amnon. Amnon got this stupid, wicked, perverted idea in his mind about his half-sister. Okay, and he plays it out because of a friend's influence called Jonadab. Again, another lesson why we need to keep godly friends around us, not ungodly friends, because they'll push you into wickedness. But he does this, And it turns out terrible. You know what happens to Amnon? Amnon dies. He actually gets killed by another one of his brothers, Absalom. But I want you to see verse 36, chapter 13, verse 36. It came to pass, as soon as he had made an end of speaking, that behold, the king's sons came and lifted up their voice and wept. Notice this last part. And the king, that's David, also and all his servants wept very sore. Guys, what does that tell you? This is heartache. This is misery. This is his heart is broken. Why? I believe it all traces back to his sin with Bathsheba. You say, Brother Tom, why are we hammering this? I mean, we know he messed up. We know God wasn't pleased. We know Nathan showed up, pointed his finger in his face, and preached a hard message to him. David finally repented. But can I tell you, there were still consequences. Yeah. That baby in chapter 12 died. That would be unbelievable sorrow to deal with. And now, again, tracing it back to David's sin, Amnon, one of David's sons, could have been perhaps one of the next kings to come along. But because of his weakness, he died a premature death. And it said, David, the king, wept very sore. Guys, that's talking about he's bawling, he's weeping, he's moaning, he's groaning. I've said this before, guys, but there's a difference to me. Sometimes you see people weeping and there's just tears coming out, but you can't really hear them. When a guy is really overcome and weeping, that is an ugly sound. That is an awful sound. That is a heart-ripping sound. I believe that's what David was sounding like at that point. I mean, he's moaning, he's groaning. This is awful. Whew. Say, Brother Tom, this is sad today. Why are you such a downer today? Because this is where sin leads to. It leads to depression, right? And then, guys, I want to show one more to you about Absalom. This is in chapter 18, at the very last verse of chapter 18, 18:33 of 2 Samuel. Please look at these with me. You say, why are we showing all this, man? Come on. Because, guys, if I ruin my life, ruin my family, this kind of stuff could happen to me. It could happen to you. Hey, guys, you know what the world puts out? The world puts out, man, this is awesome. You know, I was talking with one of my friends recently about this. You know, Ethan, what the world downplays? The world downplays being faithful to your husband or wife. That's like boring. You know, that's like 1950. Like, what are we doing? You know, this is a new day and age. You know what they present as exciting and fascinating and really spicy? If a guy cheats on his wife. Yeah. Oh, did you hear? Oh, that's like a treasure for people to talk about, right? Yeah. Guys, you see how the world does this? Hey, guys, don't fall for it. Hey, guys, one day, you're going to be working somewhere and they're going to be, dude, do you see that girl? I think she looked at you. What are you going to do? This is real life. You're not going to be in the Christian bubble your whole life. This is how it happens. Don't fall for it. Listen, we'll get to the things you need to pursue and the right kind of women you need to pursue at one point in this message. But, guys, don't fall for the worldly stuff. This is where it leads. I mean, you almost wish you could have gone back, Ethan, and when David walks out on that rooftop and sees this woman undressed, you wish you could pause it and say, David, don't do it. This will lead to the death of the baby. This will lead to the death of Amnon. You're going to be weeping very sore. This is going to rip your heart out over and over. Dude, it's not worth it. Go back. Go back inside. Pray. Get close to God. Get away from it. You wish you could do that, but guys, that's not real life. There's no pause button in real life. It'd be nice, though. The heartache, the regret for his children. This is chapter 18, verse 33. He has just found out that Absalom, who had rebelled against him and his kingdom, has just died. Can somebody read verse 33 for me, 18:33? So we got it. Ethan, go ahead.
And the king was much moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went thus, he said, oh, my son, Absalom, my son, Absalom, who would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son.
Does that not like rip your heart out? Guys, he is so heartbroken over this. Again, why? Why? I believe you trace it back. I believe it was all heavily influenced by his sin with Bathsheba. Man, you say, Brother Tom, you just pounded us with like the sorrow machine, like bam. Guys, over and over and over, you see this happen to his life. Now, I'm not saying if you live for God, it's smooth sailing, you're never going to have a problem. There are people that have lived right that have had immense problems. But can I tell you, I believe David, these things directly trace back to his sin with that lady that night. I really do.
Yeah.
I really do. And his heart is ripped out over and over. Guys, because of his bad example and the effect that this sin had, his children deviated from what was right. They were destined to fail and they died. And David had to suffer through that. Guys, you've probably heard this statement before. Children should not have to go, parents should not have to go to their children's funeral, yeah. Right? It should be opposite. The children should one day go to their parents' funeral when they're old and die of natural causes. Then the children should go to that, not the other way around. David's going to the funeral of three of his sons. Why? Because his sin. You know what? I don't think the devil mentioned that. Huh. How about that? Isn't that amazing? No, the devil leaves out a lot, guys. And there's some things he doesn't want you to know. And we're trying to teach those things to you. Adam, where did it lead? Devastation. Devil didn't tell me that, though. Yeah, I know, because he tricked you. Samson, where did it lead? Defeat. What thousands of soldiers couldn't do, one woman did. David. I mean, not to be crude here, but I mean, that lady looked good. But where did it lead? It led to depression in his own life. You saw Psalm 32, his bones waxed old and roaring all the day. God's hand was pressing on him. He couldn't get away from it. If he wouldn't have repented at that moment, I believe God would have taken him out of this world. And then he had to suffer through the loss, the tragic loss of three of his sons. Why? Because it all traced back to David's sin. Guys, we don't want to have to deal with that kind of heartache, right? So what do? When the devil throws his temptations at us, say, yeah, devil, to be honest, that does look appealing. That does look good. But devil, there's a whole lot that you're not telling me. But thank God I got in the Bible and God told me what the real story is. So I'm not going to fall for it. With God's help, guys, because we're all weak. We're all weak. With God's help, may we say, Lord, keep me strong, keep me solid, and help me to follow what you say. Because guys, you deviate from this, this is where it leads to. And I get it. The temptation is strong. It's powerful. It's got a very strong pull on us. But don't follow it. Don't follow it. You follow what God says. God will lead you to the right path, and he'll give you joy and happiness as a result. Let's bow our head and close our eyes. Lord, thank you for today.